This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, folks. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I'm going to tell you a true story about how Jerry Seinfeld and I once made Yakov Smirnoff cry. We thought we were going to make him laugh, but it didn't happen right away. Listen to us for free through iTunes, and we'll see you here.
CarCast is brought to you by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or go to smartterm.com. That's 866-347-5748 and smartterm.com.
Now, it's time for this week's CarCast with your host, Adam Carolla, and moderator, Matt DeAndrea.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
How are you?
Good. I want to hear all about SEMA when the time is right. Ralph Gilles. Did I say it right?
Nice job.
I just go fast.
Wow.
Yeah. President and Chief Executive Officer, SRT Brand Motorsport, Chrysler Group. I'll just go ahead and step on it and say there's a beautiful Viper. Actually, two beautiful Vipers out in the parking lot. We're going to go walk around.
I don't think you're giving anything away. Okay. Just having Ralph here, I think pretty much says there's a Viper in the parking lot.
A little obsession.
Viper's one of those things. It's the automotive equivalent of the TV show. I was about to say Living Color, but I didn't mean that. I meant the Fox show. The Fox show that was the Fox sketch show.
Mad TV.
Yeah, it was Mad TV. Mad TV, every single year, I would talk to the cast of Mad TV, and they would say, this is our last year. And I'd say, really? Because you told me that last year. And they go, yeah. And then 5 years would go by, and they go, this is the last year. And then I go, okay. And they've just kept coming back. I feel like the Vipers a little that way. It's like, this is going to be our last batch. And then it's bigger, better, and badder the next year.
Yeah.
Which Viper? We're in about our fifth version of the Viper?
Yeah, the owners, so to speak, called it Gen 5. So fifth generation. Usually the engine kind of denotes the generations, yeah.
So what is, it's always a V10.
Yeah. So they went 400, 450, 500, 600, now 640.
And it's always naturally aspirated.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just tweaking that motor each and every time.
We've added technology like variable valve timing a couple of years back and visual coil packs, electronic throttle, all that kind of stuff.
And displacement, right, over the years. What is it now?
It's 8.3 liters from, it always was pretty big. It started off as 8. And I want to clear something up. It's not a truck motor. Everybody says it came from the old Ram V10. Nothing to do with it.
Did it ever?
No, nothing.
Nothing ever
came from
that.
It's dimensionally similar in terms of the bore centers, but that was a cast iron engine. This is an all aluminum engine.
It's all aluminum block and heads.
Yeah.
Hold on, because let me tell you something. The worst thing you can do is, when I bought my Aston Martin DB9, and I said...
That has a truck motor, too.
No, it's worse. It's worse. I said, it's a V12, and the guy's like, yeah, it's just basically two Ford EcoBoost V6s together.
You don't want to know
like,
that.
Wow.
So you're saying...
that's what you're telling me?
It's two $3,000 engines welded together to form a $90,000 engine? Like, I don't understand.
You know what you should say? You should say we took a 16-cylinder Cadillac engine from the 30s and lopped off four cylinders. Or this is a Merlin Marine, or this thing was in a Spitfire or something, and we took, don't go added. Jesus Christ. But never a truck.
Never. Matter of fact, we remember Chrysler owned Lamborghini in the late 80s.
Sure. Right?
So they helped us learning how to cast something that big, because they used to cast big V12 engines all the time. So our engineers spent a lot of time in Italy figuring out how to do the V10.
So the Viper was always an aluminum block?
Always.
Oh.
From day one.
Did not know that. I would always hear stories. The Viper's got to be the number one story of, then the rear end came around. Like every
well, talk to Christopher Titus because he's got the best story with that, where he basically just jumped it through like half of Willow Springs.
Yeah, when it came out years back in '92, it was the most powerful car you could buy.
You know?
And it had no modern day anything on it. I mean, you're on your own. Yeah,
but and it's different, like the styling, everything was just really kind of
cartoonish
different.
Almost. But
yeah,
I didn't like the early version. I didn't like the rims on the early version.
Wait, before you say that, did you design that car too?
No.
Okay.
I did not like those weird three-spoker kind of...
super deep dish.
Yeah, there's something about those rims I did not like. Later on, when they turned it into a coupe and they did the blue and the white styling and the sort of gurney bubbles and stuff like that, that's when I started to really dig.
Which was inspired by the Daytona, the Cobra Daytona.
Cobra Daytona, many of the same features, sort of that big sort of... ducktail in the back and the long front, the white and the blue, and the whole 9 yards. So the future for the Viper and the future for the SRT projects in general. What's coming up? What are we looking at down the road?
We're in the middle of. I mean, obviously the Viper launched late last year. We had a horrible launch. I mean, 6 months past when we were supposed to. But things are picking up. We've delivered about 526 cars to owners, so we're getting there. It's transacting at a really high price. I mean, this is the most expensive car we've ever sold through the Chrysler networks, but it's pretty cool. In terms of the future, I mean, we have our Charger, Challenger, 300 SRTs, and the Grand Cherokee, which has been the absolute knockout success. It's been really a physics-defying machine that people have picked up on. So we're going to refresh those products. Next year, we have a fleet of new SRT powertrains coming and a lot of good news that you'll hear about midsummer.
So but the big news, though, is SRT is – a standalone brand within the Chrysler group now. So I know we have the Jeep SRT8 and we have the Challenger SRT, but really the Viper is the only thing that doesn't have. It's not a Dodge Viper anymore. Yeah. It is just SRT.
And it's a bit of a testbed for us, right? It's our first application of carbon, like true carbon, the whole hood, the roof, the deck lid's all carbon. First application of hot stamp aluminum, which is from the aircraft industry.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very advanced stability control system with 5 modes, so you can kind of graduate with the car, and it keeps you from, the back end coming out type stuff. So
I think it was John from System of a Down, the drummer from System of a Down, who told me he had a little torque problem.
He did, or the car?
But that's what's cool. It's not
maybe he was in one of the wrong five modes. That's
he was in zero mode.
He was in he was in the wrong mode.
But it's not for everybody. It's definitely the Harley Davidson versus the Ducati kind of thing.
I'm now, I would rather be seen in the Viper than in the Vet at this stage. I think the car is better looking. It's more aggressive, and I think the car has evolved quite nicely. Like I was not a fan of some of the early versions of it, but I think it's been it didn't get breathed on all at once. It got evolved into what it is. But it's taken a really – I mean, it's kept all its over-the-top, super aggressive, in-your-face kind of stuff. But it's also just – it's smoothed out a lot of the rough edges of the past. It really looks great.
We had a lot of fun designing it. We had a huge competition. Almost the entire design office was stopped everything and worked on this car for a little while. And it was great.
Yeah, that's cool, though, that everybody gets to get – gets to participate.
It's sensuous.
Now, in terms of like SRT and Dodge and Chrysler and units moved and that kind of stuff, I don't own a car company, but it doesn't seem like somebody would say, look, we're going to make a shitload of money selling these Vipers, because someone would say, we're going to make a shitload of money selling these trucks.
Yeah.
And selling many other things, but we'll keep this Viper out there because it's something at the car show. It looks really bitchin' when people come around
and
have
cool
it out
car
there.
And you
nailed it. It's exactly right. It's our flagship. It also, a lot of our engineers have come to the company because they want to touch this thing, this crazy, vehicle that they've heard about. But it's not going to make a ton of money for the company. But we learn a lot from the car. We race it. We started ALMS racing again last year. Which again gets us some great notoriety for the SRT brand. So it's in a way it's our commercial for the brand.
Now is Tommy Kendall driving for you?
Yep.
Yeah. Now wasn't Tommy in here before and he was like, I'm not getting into a race car again, especially that vintage stuff because it's too dangerous.
Well, he did.
Right? That's what he said, right?
He always tells me that. I'm like, well, I'm going vintage racing this week, but thanks.
We coaxed him out of retirement pretty much.
Yeah, and now he's racing Vipers.
But to be fair to Tommy, this ain't vintage.
No. And that's a good choice because he's a great guy and he's a great character.
And
he's
needs
a driver.
He needs a gurney bubble.
He does. Yeah. It's probably the only race car out there he can fit in.
Yeah, you know, the race car actually is a little more roomy because we don't have the hick foam. That's all the safety foam we have to put in the real car. But he fits in the – he's given thrill rides in the normal Viper, Street Viper.
Yeah, and a real good guy, and great to see him back behind the wheel of something because that guy's just every second he's not on the track is just a waste.
Oh, he's a badass. He's a badass.
Yeah,
and you race a lot, Adam. I enjoy watching you.
Oh, thanks. We're having fun. Tommy's having fun. Everyone's having fun. Matt,
I'm trying to have some fun.
SEMA mind numbing.
Oh my God, Ralph was there for a while too, right? I was there all week.
It was ridiculous.
It was easily a solid 130,000 people, but it was good. It was well planned. Like we went a few years ago when it was a monster, but it was like there was a lot of bleed in from the locals, about 20,000, and those people just fill the halls and their tire kickers. This was a lot of good people doing the right business that they're supposed to be doing there.
Well, you know, and I always say there's like a couple of moments where you just go, well, this is why the terrorists hate us.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all.
Look at this. No, we don't need any of this stuff. And yet we want it all.
But I think of SEMA as an indicator of the economy. I mean, it's
on fire. Oh, no,
it
is.
It is. It's good. So, of course, we try to chat with a bunch of the guys we can't normally talk to because of just of our location. So we talked to the Ring Brothers, and you're seeing pictures of this crazy Pantera that they built.
Oh, the Ring Brothers built a Pantera?
The Ring Brothers built it. Well, the Ring Brothers showed up with like three cars, by the way, but they built the Pantera. They built another Mustang.
I think we talked to them a little about...
I'm really trying to get them to bring this car in,
We talked to them a little about, you know, to me, the next trend is taking stuff with a little more of a European flavor.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't like the way this car looks that much.
Interior by Nike.
I'd have to get inside it, maybe.
Interior by Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like the idea of taking something that has a European flavor to it and jumping off of that point rather than, you know, here's another Mustang.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's I'm going to have to sniff that car. Did it win?
It did. It won everything. But and then our buddy Steve Strope, who took a different direction. He had his Martini Mustang, which was very raw. And now he showed up with a fully sort of decked out like Gen 2 Camaro twin turbo. Our buddy Tom Nelson from Nelson Racing Engines built this turbo.
I saw that. That was awesome. Mm-hmm.
And he won GM's design award for this thing. This was in the HRE Wheels booth. So we got a chance to talk to Alan Peltier as well. And that guy is just such an uber nerd when it comes to wheels. He's like, he said he's got a 21-inch wheel that weighs 21 pounds.
Yeah, he's...
That's light for a 21-inch wheel,
very,
right?
Very
that's
light.
Really light, yeah.
You know, find the guys who do all this matte painting on these cars and kick them in the nuts. Find that booth.
There was definitely less of that. There was less of that. And the guys from Avery Dennison that make the wraps, they've come out with a whole line of like chrome wraps and carbon fiber wraps.
There's going to be – now, at some point, the man's going to have to get involved with this, right? Because you're going to wrap a car in chrome. I'm going to be driving behind Patton's helmet. Basically, the sun's going to hit it. I'm going to be momentarily blinded and going into an orphanage or something. And there's going to be a lawsuit. Or you're going to do some sort of custom thing with some sort of hot Viking chick and in a copper bra. And then my kids are going to get upset because I'm deeply religious. You know what I'm saying?
That's
there's going to be something.
Right.
We're going to have to draw the line somewhere, right?
Well, no. This is America. We can put all the boobs we want on the hoods of our cars.
But you can't tint the windows.
No, you can't tint the windows, Dark. As long as the cops can't see that you're driving around shirtless.
Did you see the self-healing wrap that they had?
No.
It was on SunTech. This company had this wrap, and you could scratch it with wire, and it would heal itself with a heat gun. Crazy.
That's cool.
I have definitely seen the metal technology that goes back into shape, which is going to be
Christine.
I'm guessing that the
it's very Stephen King.
Yeah, no, is it?
You're dating yourself.
It's no one's seen that movie. It's a haunted car, right? It's a haunted car.
Do you remember
it was like
what,
Cujo, the haunted
do you remember
dog.
What brand that car was?
I do.
It was yeah.
Well,
it was a Fury.
Yes, Plymouth Fury.
It was a Plymouth Fury, and the poster said something about the Fury. It was like, release the Fury. Of,
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Cujo, she...
How am I the only one who knows this? The one time I bring something out that's dated.
In Cujo, she was trapped in a Pinto the whole time.
Wouldn't that suck when they're like, we're going to shoot this whole movie, you're in the car. You're in a Pinto the whole movie.
Got to figure out if movies like that would be famous.
Oh, you know, another thing I saw at SEMA was a guy that hits the button and the windows in the back go opaque. That can't be legal, right? That can't be legal at all, but he just hits the button, they go opaque, he hits it again, it goes clear.
We talked to those guys that have, like, the holograms where the rims are and stuff, where you can, like, type in.
Yeah, you can send messages in your rim. You're a dick. It's just spinning around.
Well, it's more for picking up chicks, I think.
I'm a dick?
Yes, whatever. You don't have to say dick. You can say something else. The Viper's out. It was delayed. Mm-hmm. It's out. I know the Vet's out. I know there's the competition. What if I was looking at Vets and looking at Vipers, what would you say to me to get me to squeeze a trigger on the Viper?
You know, a lot of people like to pin us against each other, right? And I understand that. We have two doors. We're shiny, right? But they're really very different cars. You know, we're 200 horsepower more than they are. I think that, you know, I would call the Viper an exotic, right? And the Corvette is a fantastic American sports car.
Right.
But we only built, I mean, to this day, from 1992, we've built 29,000 Hunt cars, right? And Corvette has done that in 1 year.
Right.
So we're not trying to be a volume manufactured car. I would say that if you want to something exclusive, something that just puts a grin on your face and makes you feel like a rock star, then the Viper's what you want.
Well, you know, it's weird. I feel like I need to straighten people out all the time because... You know, like, take the aforementioned Aston Martin, you know, people go, well, that, you know, the Vet will beat it in a lap of the Nürburgring by 8 seconds. You're like, okay, not everything is that, you know. A lot of it is just what you're buying an exotic car. Like, it's X-list. It's not, you're taking something that's wildly impractical because all you really need is... all you need is a Toyota Camry, really. If you just break it down, a Honda Civic, a Toyota Camry with tan interior, and we could all call it a life. I mean, that's all you really need. But the point is you want more because that's your income bracket, that's your personality, that's your statement, that's wherever. Don't start bringing
it's
the
fun.
Super... Yeah, but wait, and I agree. When people take this super practical talk into the supercar world, like when they go like... Well, you could get three of those Corvettes for the price of one of those Ferrari. It's like, that's the point. That's kind of the point.
My mom does this all the time. I was like, it's got 640 horsepower, the new Viper. She'd be like, where are you going to use that?
Right.
I was like, you know, with that attitude, I'm going to use it in your driveway.
That's right, with some bleach.
That's right.
And we build the Viper very differently. It's built by hand in Detroit. We build six a day at best, you know, and it's really a, kind of a bespoke idea, right? So you can get stripes you want, any interior you want. It becomes your own personal show car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different formula.
So like in the past, I remember seeing, well, it seems like at the beginning was just a red and gold package is what I saw. Mm-hmm. And then later on there was red and blue and white and stuff like that. But I didn't see all the colors under the rainbow. Not quite as limited as the DeLorean. But
you're absolutely right. The car launched red. You could only get in red. Then it was black. And then it was blue. And then it was yellow. But it was every other year. Now we have eight colors right from the start. And matter of fact, we're launching about one color every 3 months.
And you're launching with the SRT Viper and the GTS.
Yeah.
What are the differences between those?
So the SRT Viper is kind of a back-to-basics machine. Not too many
frills. This is the daily driver Viper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's about $100,000. It's got, you know, nice interior, still wrapped, you know, leather-wrapped instrument panel and such. The GTS has got active suspension. It's got the big, fat, you know, 8-inch stripes, dual stripes that you can get underneath the clear coat. It's got a killer audio system, more options on wheels and things like that. So you can get a GTS anywhere from up to 150,000.
But it's not just the trim. It's like the hood is different or something?
Yeah, there's two portals on the... Because we tried to make the GTS more sophisticated. This is for people that want to go to car shows, go to Sonoma and go wine, you know, tasting or something like that, and kind of hang out with their friends. The SRT is that guy who probably drag races, have a little fun with it. And then the new TA that we're launching right now is the guy who does time attack and goes to track days. You know,
okay. So that's the big ballsy one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be cool. So... The other SRT products that you have, of course, we talked about this when you came in because you have a bunch of people here with you, and you rolled up in the Grand Cherokee SRT8. Yeah. Now, I like that thing because it does things an SUV shouldn't do. Like, it's incredibly fast.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome. Now, did you – I know you raced One Lap of America. Was it this past year?
A few years ago.
Yeah, did you do it in an SRT8 Jeep?
Then I did in a Challenger, actually.
In an SRT Challenger. I thought somebody ran it in a Jeep recently.
That was one of our engineers. Marco Denitz took one of the last year's version and ran it.
Now, how badass really would that be? Just go around from track to track and just race and then have the boss basically pay for it and say, take our Jeep SRT.
In the name of research. You know, so.
Well, in speaking of work and the boss and all that, just take us through an average Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys? Where do you go? Where are you out of? I don't know.
Okay,
is everything in Michigan?
Question.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, so our tech center is in Auburn Hills, Michigan. It's about 40 minutes north of Detroit. A huge complex. It's second only to the Pentagon. It's like a huge campus. It's a giant building. Has every possible function you could imagine in one building.
There's no vipers at the Pentagon. I'm guessing.
A typical day. I mean, we have the beauty of that building is you have engineering, design, lawyers, everything is in there, right? So. And my other job is design, right? So we have a small building just for SRT engineering. We have about 60 engineers and mechanics that work on SRT. So they're kind of a special club. And the SRT engineer, you have to kind of be of a certain skill set and rank to kind of make it into the SRT fold. So it's a very highly regarded
place to be. How many are part of that group, SRT?
About 60 engineers and I think about 10 mechanics and then a few marketing people that work.
So first off, it's got to be great down in the community lunchroom. How are those minivans going?
Yeah.
God.
It's a bit like that.
SRT guys are over here eating sushi. You guys want some bugles from the vending machine? Right.
They're just like you guys. They're absolutely in love with cars. They race. They're hot rodders. They're just the land of misfit enthusiasts. And
so
would you
I'm like picturing a guy working on a door handle for a month, or do you literally part the car out to a degree?
In the case of the Viper, absolutely. So the engineering team engineers every inch of it. But in the case of like the Grand Cherokee, most of that is done by the platform team, and then we add our bits to make it an SRT. So they work on the big brakes, they work on the cooling, the engine, the powertrain, and even the paddle shifters. We tune everything uniquely, so the SRTs have a completely different character. So that's where the lunchroom conversation goes. We get to kind of do the fun stuff, the exotic stuff.
Yeah.
And a Jeep, that's obviously that platform could end up with a straight six in it.
No, V6.
V6. A V6 in it. But that one on any given Jeep could just end up with a 211 horsepower V6 that's going to the soccer mom, or could end up with the fire breathing V8 and the big brakes and whatever.
So that's a good example because we make a diesel version of the Grand Cherokee, we make a normal V8, we make a V6, and our fire breathing 470 horsepower.
Now, how do you decide which cars are going to be sucked into the SRT?
That's a great question. They have to have good bones. The vehicles have to have fundamental stiff chassis, good dynamics from scratch. We're not going to do an SRT minivan as much as I'd love to do it, but it has
to
be.
That'd be kind of badass, though,
yeah,
right?
It would be.
They gave me the SRT.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd would be the only one who has it. The SRT
they gave me the truck for a week once, and I remember just thinking, this is the most ridiculous vehicle that's ever been built.
But that's what I think is so badass about it.
Did you love it?
It's so fast.
It was insane, and it was a... It was 5-speed or 6-speed.
It was the 5-speed.
It was a 5-speed with like a 3-foot long, it was VW van esque length, and it was like ridiculous trying to feather the clutch out a little and back that thing out of my driveway. I was driving it to Loveline and stuff, and I just
you're talking about the old truck.
I'm talking about the old truck.
He's talking about the SRT 10, the Viper.
I'm talking about
with the manual transmission.
I mean, the worst idea ever, which is. We're just going to take this Dodge truck and we're going to shoehorn this Viper engine into it, and we're going to give it to Corolla for a week.
Yeah,
and that we're probably talking about 2006 or 5.
Yeah,
or
it was 07, somewhere like that.
Somewhere in there, and I remember just thinking, I look ridiculous in this vehicle, and if someone pulls up next to me in a Prius, crying.
Think it was a Prius there, but I think you could just bump those right off the road.
I have no answers for you.
If you're in an SRT8 or an SRT10 with a manual transmission,
yes,
you just bump those things off the road.
Yeah,
those are becoming valuable now. People are
they? Oh, now we're looking at it.
The Yeah, that's from SEMA a few years back.
Somebody built like a minivan.
I built one myself. I actually did one lap of America in a minivan in the
did you really?
Early 2000s. Yeah.
What engine did you put in it?
I actually upgraded. It came with a 3.3, and I found a junkyard 3.8 liter from the limited model or something like that.
But you've been at Chrysler for 21 years. They wouldn't give you an engine. You had to go to the junkyard.
No, all these weird
things. Where you mentioned diesel earlier. And now a lot of companies are starting in. Maybe Le Mans kind of started this with the diesel and the performance. Mm-hmm. No one ever went diesel and performance. They just sort of went diesel and long-haul trucking. But now people are starting to realize, and with the CAFE standards and all that kind of stuff, and the clean stuff and everything, is there any SRT diesel anything looming in the future?
Not immediately, long-term. We actually talk about that. We have kind of these type of conversations at SRT all the time, and it's intriguing, right? We've seen what Audi's done, obviously, with great diesel
power. Yeah, you can
power.
Have, I don't know,
lots
you can bump up from 875 foot-pounds to 1,200 foot-pounds. Yeah. I don't know what, I'm trying to think of where you're at right now in the torque department, but I'm guessing it's...
We got about 600 on the bike.
600 foot-pounds. I mean, you could probably get to 1,000 foot-pounds of torque. In a diesel, yeah.
In a Jeep Grand Cherokee, you know, if you do an SRT diesel version of that, it's all-wheel drive. It already hooks up like a monster.
You give me ideas. I'm going to run off and build one of those now.
Like a diesel SRT Grand Cherokee would be badass. You probably just, you know, you can put down 800 or 900 pound-feet of torque. At 0 to 60 would be like a rocket, and it probably gets like 23 miles a gallon, drives around.
Don't mind all the axles spitting out the bottom of the car.
No. Listen, I'm not the engineer here. I'm not the engineer. There's guys. There's probably guys. But you have 60 guys. There's 60 guys that'll work on
I think diesel's its day is coming. People are very interested in diesel.
Ralph, what are some of your favorite events? I mean, just outside of Dodge and SRT and whatever, but what stuff do you like to do for the enthusiasts out there?
I love going to car shows. Like, I go to Carlisle for my first – I went twice now. And I go to Spring Fest, which happens in Orange County here every spring. This is, I think, number 8 coming up. Amazing. All these owners, 1,000, Moparians, I call them, that congregate and celebrate their vehicles. Most of them are rear drive, bigger cars that we make, like Challenger and Charger. And I love SEMA. I love those kind of shows. I go to every auto show, every major auto show in the world. I try to hit, whether it's China or Germany or whatever, and stay up on, just like a doctor goes to a conference, I have to kind of keep up on what's going on. Because that's my other job. We haven't talked about that, but my big job is head of design for Chrysler Group. So I'm always kind of trying to see where the trends are going.
And when you say see, I mean check out the competition, kick their tires.
But unfortunately, you're looking at the past, right? When you look at a car on the road, it was designed 4 or 5 years ago. So it's, you're just kind of trying to feel where trends are going. But I love watching culture, I mean, especially in America. You have from east to west, north to south, you have so many different cultures, and you have to study them and kind of anticipate their needs.
Right.
And there's a very interesting thing going on in the U.S. right now. You've got people that are very much into cars, others that could care less about cars. You've got green movement. You got the electric drag racing going on. There's so many interesting things. We live in a great time.
Is the audience here more broken up compared to like when you go to the Tokyo show or something like that, or the other countries just sort of focused like we're all small, we're all efficient, or we're all trucks or raw.
America
whatever.
Is by far the most interesting because we have the big truck thing. They don't have that at all.
We love our trucks.
Yeah. And in Tokyo, the cars are absolute bizarro sculpture things. They don't even look like cars, And they're just trying to make a statement more so than actually solve a problem.
So design plays a big influence there more than anything else, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Well, I mean, we're more diverse, obviously. If you go to Tokyo, people look kind of the same, and the cars look kind of the same. You come to L.A., nobody looks the same.
You nailed it.
And none of the cars look the same, and some of the different cultures want the different cars.
Right.
So we kind of are represented. You go to a used car lot, and you look around, and it reminds me a lot of America. Yeah. You see a large black truck parked next to white minivan, and then you see a little red Italian sports car over there all coming together. All living under the same tent with the funny balloons. Yeah, it is. But there is kind of that. I really thought about if we were just a society that was Asian or Hispanic or Germanic or whatever it is, we'd all be driving about the same thing. We're all over the place here. Thus, we need everything.
And that's precisely why we set up SRT as a brand, because we speak to that consumer directly. We market to them. It's small. We're not looking at big volume. We want to go after exclusivity versus volume. So we do events with them. We hang out. We have a website just for them. and they feel special, and we feel like a kindred spirit with our owners. You know?
So where are we going to be with the supercar in 10 or 20 years? And I mean that more from like the government's hand in saying things, not really just from, you know.
Well, you see it happening already. If you look at like the very high, the million-dollar cars, I call them, like the Porsche 918, right?
Yeah, they're all like hybrids, right?
Yeah, the LaFerrari, right? The FF. You know, there's a lot of that technology from F1 bleeding its way into production cars. But of course, it's a million-dollar car. But that stuff eventually will make its way down to $200,000, $100,000 cars. You'll see. I think you'll see hybrid and power technology combined. And you have your cake and eat it too. So
you guys have to be at least looking at that now, thinking about, well, how do we take how do we take what Ferrari's doing for $2 million and really start to make it more, I don't want to say for the masses, but something a little more attainable into a Viper. And then what are the real benefits? Are the benefits are like, so you get that electric motor and it acts like a nitrous shot around corners?
Funny story. I had borrowed, an engineer lent me the Fiat 500 electric because we developed that at Auburn Hills in Michigan. And they had tuned it up to be full power, right? You know, they mediate the power so it'll go 99 miles or whatever it is. And it was like an absolute nitrous shot thing, like pop like a cork.
Right. Know? So like that's the thing. It's like you have that great battery power. If you don't have to go 99 miles, if you only have to go 7 miles, how quick could that car go?
Oh, it's incredible. It'll hurt you.
John Krasinski, not to drop the celebrity name.
Too late.
Who's married to Emily Blunt, told me.
Who lives next door to you?
Jimmy. Told me that his wife made him sell the Tesla S.
Really?
And so it's funny because I bought my house when I was married without telling my wife. So when you tell me you sold your car because your wife made you sell, and so I just hear this giant whoopsh in the background, you know? But I'm like, she has her own car, right?
No, me.
And then we, of course, found out later, you know, you can program that in. But she said it was hurting her neck. Like, because
acceleration.
Yeah, because he didn't have the Tesla S programmed for the smooth start. He just kept putting his foot into it. And when he put his foot into it, her head snapped back because of the instant torque.
That's how you should drive
electric
that car.
Motor.
She's wrong.
I agree, too. Get a Hans device, sweetie, and quiet.
That's right.
Zip it.
Just wear it backwards. Right?
Put that Hans device on backwards and just zip it. But he said I had to sell the car because of that motor, that electric.
You know, he seems like a nice guy, but now
too
you're,
nice.
Saying, now
too
you're
nice.
Saying he's a puss.
He needs a sub-wife.
Too nice, some would say. And she is a sweet thing with a British accent. But later on,
she needs
somebody,
the racing collar. She needs
the donut. Told her or told him, look, you got to program that shit into the car because that's a problem. But yeah, if everyone is talking about 0 to 60 and people are like, well, what are you going to do with these little electric cars? Oh, no, 0 to 60, that's where they're going to kick everyone's ass. They're not going 203 miles an hour, whatever the Viper does. But the 0 to 60 part, that's just going to be about hooking up. I mean, you got
it's a traction.
Yeah,
it's gonna be traction.
Mm.
And that's why you need a diesel SRT Grand Cherokee because you got all wheel drive.
No, that's why you need Encore, baby. Encore Insurance Services LLC for free life insurance quote. You can call 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Thinking about getting life insurance? Maybe you have coverage. Maybe you need a little bit more. Maybe you need a little talking to. Encore, we got one of our sales guys, Kit, healthy, 37, non-smoker, got himself a 20-year, $500,000 policy for less than $30 a month. So you need Encore. Give him a call, 866-347-5748. License and disclaimer information can be found on their website at smartterm.com. All right, I think we're going to go look at a car. I also think that my eBay, is it my last blog? Second to last eBay blog is up there.
Making My Peace with Old Yeller.
You know,
that's the title of your...
I forgot when I was talking to, I was working on this Paul Newman documentary and I was thinking about, going to interview John Morton and that bad crash he had and that scarab over there. Old Yeller was leading that race, basically, when Morton got in that horrible rollover crash over the top of turn one at Laguna Seca, which is right where everyone crashed in my race, or with us with a BMW Batmobile.
Yes.
And Ralph, you know, ooh, the BMW 3-liter 3.0 Batmobile, or maybe it was a 3.5. But anyway, car just, yeah, you'd cry.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. But it was right in the exact same spot.
This car you know, Ralph, don't you? This old Yeller?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're a judge at Pebble Beach. Yeah. Don't you do that quite a bit?
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a badass gig, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good gig.
I'm kind of bummed out because I couldn't go for 2 years and they stopped inviting me. I'm like devastated
because
I did it for 5 years. So I'm like, if anyone's out there, please.
Yeah.
To get back to Pebble again.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Just for the food.
Yeah. I would, the food, the surroundings.
Yeah.
Do you press your pants when you go there?
You know, that place.
We wore shorts last time, actually.
It's a little snobby for me. I don't know.
It's a hodgepodge.
Or the crumpets.
You know, we usually go to the track, or oftentimes we're at the track.
The track and then the Quail Lodge.
My favorite part is walking the pits, right? Everybody sets up these awesome dioramas. They look like vintage, you know, it was. So cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love reading everyone's storyboard of, you know, where the car ran and what it was in and the old pictures of the guys.
I like the guys at the track that race the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang cars and they got the costumes on and everything.
No, you don't.
No, they're cool.
No,
they're
fun
to talk to.
Those guys. What with the wicker baskets that are strapped onto the back of the cars?
They got like Dennis Gage mustaches and stuff. Yeah. They're fun to talk to.
Those are the ladies. Yeah, yeah, no, they got the crazy mustache wax and the wicker baskets and stuff.
The cars aren't really that exciting to see race. They're kind of slow. But
no, I know, but the great thing about that is just like we just spoke about, the insane variety, just the insane stuff from just stuff that's almost modern and fast as shit to just old Chitty Chitty Bang Bang stuff. And then every once in a while, you see the guy with the three wheels, two wheels in the front, and the air-cooled motorcycle engine in front.
Was that a Morgan?
Whatever it is, I just want to send that guy home. I just want to go, listen, this is not for golf carts here, buddy. First off, you need four wheels to participate. And then secondly, this thing is air-cooled. Thirdly, we don't need an engine in front of the axle. Of the front axle. And either
There's Leno driving.
There's
one.
Leno. I don't need this. You know what?
Leave it to Leno to have
this. He's got one. Oh, he's got the motorcycle engine in the front.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That is. That's not a Morgan, though. It's something else. I forgot what it is.
It's
some
one
kind
in
of
New York,
kit.
Too. Yeah.
I don't think, I know this is going to sound insane. I don't think Leno owns one of those.
I don't think he does.
But it's a car.
Yeah.
So by law, he must own it.
No, and on Jay Leno's garage, they feature a bunch of cars he doesn't actually own. You know, so it's a show like this. We get cars in all the time.
The greatest call I've ever gotten in my life was Leno just called me on my cell phone once. He was like, hey, Adam. And I was like, what's going on? Hey, shit. What's his name's doing a...
Bernard?
The actor. Shit. Yeah. He's doing an ad for Gucci. And he needs a car. And I was like,
who was that?
Oh, we'll figure the guys.
Because we were going to
the guy
who
hosted the Oscars 2-3 years ago. It didn't work out so well. But
we already forgot his name.
He said, he's a nice guy. But he's doing a Gucci spot, you know?
Yeah.
And he needs a car. He needs a sexy car. And I said, so give him one of, you know,
give
let him
of
use
yours.
One of your cars. And he said, he wants a Lamborghini 350 GT, and I don't have one.
Yeah.
And I said, I have a car that you don't have. Oh, well, he'll tell you in a second.
Yeah.
I'll find it online.
Leno doesn't have a 350 GT.
What a fucking loser. God. James Franco.
James Franco. That's
what it is.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't do a very good job.
By the way,
he didn't do the Gucci ad with the Lamborghini.
I saw the Gucci. I saw the spot. There is a GT, a 350 GT.
Oh, it's not yours. I didn't bring it out.
Fucking two-timing me. It was not mine.
Wait, are you sure it wasn't yours? Because
wait
I didn't bring
minute.
It out there.
No. All right. So you can go to eBay Motors blog. You can check out second to last blog. And if you hit the app. And again, you know, like if you're like us, you like to just hang out there. All right, Ralph, let's go out in the parking lot and take a very good look at what you brought us.
All right.
Well, here it is. This is the TA.
Yeah, Time Attack.
And So this is basically the... How much lighter is it?
It's actually... it's in between because we actually put heavier brakes on it. So it's about 390 pounds or so. So it's pretty light.
So this is a light car.
This is the third... This is the most racy version, like you were saying, in the studio.
Yeah.
The Viper, the GTS, and the TA. And this one's more of the racy version.
Yeah, it's if you're going to...
Is the suspension a little stiffer?
Yeah, it's stiffer, more stiffer suspension. It has a two-mode suspension, so there's a race and street mode. It's got a very, very nice Brembo thick... It's a weird word, thick annulus rotor, which means it's got more surface area than the basic brake system. And we still have a 14-inch brake because we believe in not upsizing the wheel to keep the weight down. Mm-hmm. They're 18s and 19-inch wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some active aero devices. There's a splitter in the front and a wing in the back. At VMAX, it makes close to 600 pounds of downforce, which is 193. So we actually lose about 15 miles per hour because of the downforce.
The downforce.
That's how much more downforce it has.
The... rear 335s?
That's where they used to be. Now they're 355, and the front is 290.
They didn't make it 355.
Yes, we actually...
They got to make it.
There's a little factoid for you guys. We have the largest rubber of any car, period, in the world, even more than the Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah, 355 is about...
That's a huge tire.
As big as it gets on a... Basically, it's 19?
They're 19s in the back and 18s in the front.
19.
And we have...
12?
19 by 10, and the back is 19 by 13.
13. Yeah, people, so. By the way, when you see...
It's got to be
when you see a 13-inch,
right?
You see a one-piece, when you see a 13-inch rim without the tire on it, it looks massive.
Yeah.
Like, 13 inches doesn't sound as big as this thing feels. With the bead, it's 14, but either way, it just feels like a... Yeah. Tube.
And the other, and it has a very low center. All Vipers do. It's a 17-inch center of gravity, so it's very low. So if you can get the rubber to work, the car's got incredible grip. So
you say 17-inch center of gravity?
Yeah, off the ground. So
how does that work? Like I because I'm not, I don't know,
so
that.
If you were to measure with the center of gravity where the car rotates, it's about 17 inches off the ground.
Uh-huh.
Most cars are in the 20 inches, 19 inches.
Because everyone is always sort of talking in terms of its stance.
Yeah.
Like this sits 5 inches off the ground or something. Yeah. But the center, like the CG of an airplane.
Exactly. And the car's 50-50 weight distribution. If you want to open the hood, it has the engine's kind of like the cars we were talking about earlier.
It's in here. The hood popper's in the vent.
I like that.
The engine is way behind the axle.
Wow.
Unlike that Morgan thing we talked about.
Yeah.
It's wow. about... It sits about 6 inches behind the axle, and that's what gives it the 50-50 weight distribution.
So, and as we've learned, I guess, sort of technically a mid-engine, a front mid-engine, because it's behind the front axles.
I love this. You were just at the track.
Yeah, you could tell, right?
The tires.
Yeah, we did some shakedown work today.
The tires are...
Yeah, those are the Corsa Pirelli tires.
The is there ever any... Well, it's a stupid question, but ever any discussions of supercharged, turbocharged, or we just like the natural aspirated?
Natural aspirated, it's always been what we've been about, but our owners do a lot of that. Twin turbos and superchargers are very popular, so we've actually made the engine with forged pistons, so it actually can handle pressure charging, we call it. So we kind of softly encourage the aftermarket. We can't, outright, endorse anything, but we know it happens. A lot of these guys, the most popular thing to do with Vipers is the Silver State Classic.
Yeah, sure.
And the car, it's had many records at that particular race, so it's a very popular car
How much compression is in the engine?
It's about 11-to-1 compression.
Okay. And surprisingly, back in the day, it seemed like you could never supercharge 11-to-1 compression, but now with the electronics
it's computers and it's about... pre-detonation.
You can still run 8 pounds of boost in that thing.
We found out about the Viper owners. They're basically grown-up hot rodders. They had a car, a Mustang 5-liter when they were young. They did all that stuff, and they got a little more money, and the Viper became the thing they aspire to, and most of them hot rod the cars. I mean, I would say every third Viper gets modified.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you? It's a cool car, and if you can make it,
it's still simplistic, right?
That is a short throw shift.
Yeah, that was one of the things that bugged us. We used to have this school bus type shifter thing going on, so we shortened it, and we worked with Tremec, our supplier, to shorten the
post. And the materials,
so it's carbon fiber. You can see how light the hood is.
It's all
beautified carbon. Actually, we make it clear coated so you can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. The roof is carbon, the deck lid's carbon, and this is actually hot stamped aluminum. So is the sill.
This kind of technology that just wasn't available unless it was aerospace
three years
ago.
The shapes you see there, aluminum hates to be stamped. You cannot stamp aluminum to save your life. But if you heat it up, And then before it crystallizes, you hit it, then you get shapes like that.
And well, should we fire it up and see what it sounds like?
It's got side exhaust there, big guy.
Oh, jeez, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Wow, that looks good.
Nice. Yeah.
So the V10 has its own sound. You know,
yeah.
Very unique.
Sounds like a pissed off dad. Just like coming home from work after a really shitty day. Yeah. God damn.
And people say it's loud. And it's one of those things. It's getting in a Viper is an intense experience. It's the minute you strap it in, it's like you're having an experience.
And I notice, as far as the gauge cluster, one big tack in the middle.
Like, yes.
Speedo on the left. It looks digital.
Yeah, when you're out there tracking it, the tack's all you really care about. So we use our first 7-inch screen. It's all electronic, and it allows us to put oil temp, water temp, oil pressure. So you can customize it. You can actually move things where you want and what you think matters to you. But I'm really proud of the interior. I think that's what we did learn from our friends from Europe.
Is
working with low-volume suppliers to get leather wrapping and stitching.
Yeah, it's really,
yeah,
really
it's definitely come a long way.
Yes. Really come a long way. And the materials and, the seats... The seats are very taut, and it is a very European thing, which is a kind of a less is more. Don't make big buckle injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if the bolsters are big, have it come up, but don't have it be a big sofa pillow.
I drove a Gen 1 Viper, and although this is still a Viper, don't think this is by any means the same car.
It's a night and day difference.
Yeah, this drives different. And the steering, one of the best things we did is the X-Brace. That's something that came from our racing background.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the steering telepathic. It's absolutely linear now.
Are they all carbon fiber or just on the TA?
On the TA, and it's optional. The normal car comes as an aluminum cross brace. The TA comes standard with the carbon fiber.
So, Ralph, where I'm going to toss out a website if people want to see the car,
drive
learn
SRT.
More about it.
DriveSRT. DriveSRT.com. Lots of info, a lot of backstory. My favorite part is interviews with the actual engineers, so you get to kind of learn, you can see the passion in their interviews. When they're talking about the cars, they just start to get excited.
All right. As
I seem to, I guess.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's your baby and you're proud of it. You should be proud of it.
It's a company's baby. Yeah.
And talk about longevity of a company. This keeps coming up in my head is you've been there for 21 years
and I've worked
for the same brand and you just started off in the design team and now it's
been awesome.
Chrysler's
it's been around a long time. Chrysler's been around over almost 100 years now, and I've worked there 21 years. As you said, I've worked for 7 different CEOs, and I would say right now in this time it's the most fun I've ever had, and we're actually working harder than ever. Our new boss, Sergio Marchionne, is a visionary.
He's
so
seen
in love.
Him on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Passionate.
And he's cool. You would love him. He'd be an awesome interview because he's so affable and
Italian guys
and
are passionate. And then you mix him with cars, and he's
and I,
in
he
it.
Lets me go to. I can go to work like this. So I love it. I don't have to wear a tie anymore and just be myself. And that culture has permeated the whole company. It's a can-do spirit, and it's never count us out.
Awesome product you've created, Ralph. And thanks for coming by. Bring whatever you want, whenever you want to bring it by. Until next time, this is Adam for Ralph and Matt saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.